105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White. As always, we've got two fabulous guests in the studio with us today. To my right, we have...
I'm Denise Kesson from Kesson Physiotherapy in Faversham.
Denise, lovely to have you with us today. And to my left...
I'm Nick Inge from a company called iTrust Assurance, and we are Speak Up Business, based in Maidstone.
Fantastic. Nick, lovely to have you with us too. Obviously, we're fresh on the back of a Jubilee celebration and bank holiday weekend. How did it go for you guys? Denise, did you get up to much?
Oh, I had a lovely weekend, thank you. Really enjoyed it. Watched a lot of it on the TV and then got out to some community events as well.
Oh, brilliant. Well done. And Nick, how about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, we had a lovely cycle on Friday morning, then had a street party in the afternoon.
Oh.
And then on Saturday, I didn't watch the TV, I went to see a live band in Maidstone, which was fantastic.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well done. Well, I hope everybody listening today had a super weekend as well. I think the weather, by and large, was in our favour as well, wasn't it? Which was good. A little bit windy at times, maybe, in Folkestone and the surrounds. But what we're going to do today, obviously, is bring you a super show. Denise is going to be telling us all about her physiotherapy business based in Faversham. And you also have an app as well, don't you, Denise, which enables people to access healthcare privately, I guess, ultimately, if you need to at short notice. She's going to be telling us about that. And Nick, you're going to be telling us all about whistleblowing and what you do as iTrust Assurance in terms of enabling organisations to perhaps create a more open atmosphere and culture within their business, ultimately. So that's going to be really interesting as well. But do stay with us. What we're going to do now is play a little bit of music. And when we come back, I think we'll have a chat with Nick. So join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining the Biz Connect radio show today. As I mentioned before the break, we've got two super guests with us today. We've got Denise Kesson from Kesson Physiotherapy, and we've also got Nick Inge from iTrust Assurance. Nick, I think what we'll do is we'll start with you, if we can. Give us a bit of an introduction to who you are, please, and your company, iTrust Assurance, and what it is you actually do in the marketplace.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, firstly, Martin, for having me on. Honestly, I'm very grateful to be here and whatever. So my business is a speak-up business called iTrust Assurance, and my background is in the police. And we essentially provide a service so that organisations can allow their staff to speak up about wrongdoing in the workplace. We do this via an app and other verticals in the business as well, but essentially the app is the main vertical. And we are successfully rolling out in businesses, not only in the southeast but nationally as well.
Fantastic. Okay, now you mentioned that you'd started life, your career in the police force. So tell us a little bit about that, if you can, Nick, and perhaps how that sort of led you to where you are today. Tell us about your life in the police.
Yeah, it's slightly different background, I suppose. I joined the police in 1994. And after a few years went into the world of intelligence. My friends say, you know, how does Nick and the word intelligence come together? But essentially spent the vast majority of my career in intelligence, and that meant recruiting and managing informants, keeping criminal whistleblowers safe, and realised a few years ago that there was a need in the corporate world for that sort of mechanism as well, for allow people to speak up safely in business and other organisations. And we've taken that skill set from the police into the corporate world. And here we are.
So there's a very much a sort of direct link there, isn't there, I guess, in terms of what you were doing for 20 odd years in the police.
Yeah, I mean, essentially people, the first question they ask you when they're going to provide information about their friends and colleagues in the criminal world is who can I trust? You know, who's going to keep me safe? And we did it for a long time and didn't lose anyone. And essentially, that's the USP of the business, I suppose. Ex-covert coppers doing the same sort of work in the corporate world.
That sounds fascinating. So that was all about giving people new identities, ultimately resettling them perhaps in new parts of the country. And was it all of that we kind of read about or see and dramatized in?
Well, if it went wrong, that's what happened.
Right.
But we gave them false names, uh-huh. met them in unmarked police cars and hotels, and we had false identities. I'm not talking out of turn. You can read about it in the internet.
Yeah.
In fact, Martin, if you were a spy, you might know all this from your history as well. I thought I recognized you. But we never lost anyone.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the art of doing it, isn't it?
Mm.
Keeping them safe. But yeah, it was the trust element, and that's why I called it I Trust Assurance, because the first question they would say to us, like I said, was, who can I trust? Are you going to keep me safe? And once you cross that bridge, then they would start telling you about, you know, what they wanted to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah. So as an organisation, as a business, or, you know, it might be a public sector organisation, could be any kind of organisation ultimately, what are the kind of the benefits, if you like, of encouraging that kind of speak up culture, you know, within the business? Why do it? I mean, why is there a need for that?
There's loads of reasons. When we first went into this, we didn't really understand where we are now and why businesses want it. But essentially, if a business onboards with any speak up system, not just ours, but it means that their staff can report the things that would ordinarily might start small but could end up as a big problem for any business, because what happens is the staff might not be able to address it internally, and then they'll go on social media or go to the press or leave the business or go sick, and then you've got all those issues that, you know, escalate within a business, and that obviously hits the bottom line eventually because there's staff training and retention. And but what is happening is that businesses are finding that if they have an honest and open, transparent culture within their business, it's a really great marketing tool, and it encourages people to go and work for them.
Mm.
And it means that people have the ability to, I mean, I'll talk about the app later on if you want, but in terms of from a technical point of view, they can suggest things, like the app that we supply is a electronic suggestion box as well. So there's lots of different reasons why a company would want to have it.
Mm.
And for me, and this is not the hard sell at all, but it's harder to argue against having it than it is to have it. You know what I mean? It's like, why wouldn't you want your staff to tell you what's going on from a positive point of view? And whistleblowing's got a dirty connotation.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a hot, you know, people are grass snitch. And,
yeah.
And when I do presentations, the first question I ask an audience is, you know, put your hand up if you've been a grass or a snitch, or are. And very few people do, funny enough.
Yeah.
But those that do, and I say, well, thank you very much. And, you know, would you like to share your story with us? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But yeah. I said, once they've done it, I'll say, well, thank you very much for bravely sharing that story.
Yeah.
However, the vast majority of people in this room have done it in their past, but as they get older, they're less likely to do it because they don't want to be seen as a pariah in the business or lose the mortgage or get made redundant, inverted commas. So there's loads of reasons why you'd want your staff to speak up and tell you what's going on. Why would you, if you're an owner of a business, why wouldn't you want to know what's going on, good or bad? You know what I mean? Because then you can address it. Because if you don't, it just snowballs into bigger issues,
yeah.
and then you start having to spend more time and money trying to unpick those. So it's a no-brainer. Oh, well, I mean, I'm biased, obviously, because that's our business, but it's a no-brainer. And I've worked for organisations, not just the police, before I joined the police, where if you don't get that culture right, then it, you know, it causes all sorts of different issues.
So does the app then allow a vessel almost for the staff to feed back to the head of the company, or does it come to you and then you distill that information and provide a report for the company?
We can do both. That's how we started. And going back to my old world in the police, we used to get information from people. I mean, that sounds like a very sexy job, but basically, essentially, is you speak to people, meet them, they give information, you pass it on, and there's a what they call a firewall. So you sanitize the information so it keeps that person who's telling you safe.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding in the business world is that we can develop the app, and have developed and develop the app, so that any report will go literally straight from the app into the inbox as an email of the client as a PDF with any evidence on it, and there's no one else doing that in the world as far as we can tell.
Mm.
So yeah, it's more than just a speak up app, and it would be just part the word whistleblower and call it a speak up app, but it's about an empowerment app. It's allowing staff to go, do you know what, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, there's an app that the client can white label, and that's what they're doing now. So it looks like their own business app, so their staff can confidently know anonymously that whatever they say is going to go literally directly into the inbox of the company, and they can decide who's going to be looking at that information.
But presumably it's not just about wrongdoing in an organisation, is it? I mean, I remember you know, when I started out my career in advertising agencies in London, we were always moaning about this and moaning about that. And what happens ultimately is that, you know, everybody then starts moaning about something, and then the management have to bring everybody together and say, look, guys, you know, we all work for the same company here. This needs to stop. And it might have started with something quite minor about, you know, getting a job through the production team, you know, to actually then getting it off to wherever it needed to go to. And we'd all be moaning about that. So it's not just about, you know, clear wrongdoing, somebody's stolen something from, or is stealing something from the warehouse, or you know, some kind of bullying behaviour. It's about sort of more, it's broader than that, presumably, in terms of business process and how you actually encourage people to feedback and make things better.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, like I said, whistleblowing, dare I say it again, has got a bad connotation and seems a dirty word. But if you allow the staff to not only report wrongdoing, and I'll show you later on if you want, but the buttons on the app means that you can report wrongdoing, but also there's another button where you can use it as an electronic suggestion box.
Yes.
There's another button where you can praise a colleague or the organisation, because someone might not be getting the recognition that they should be getting. Mm-hmm. And also for the client, they can customise the app as well. So this is what we're finding. They can have their own logo on it, so it looks like their own app. And they can also have a button on it, which they can then turn into a permanent staff survey button, or a feedback, or 360, and in the construction world, certainly we make a lot of progress with near miss reporting. So at the minute, there's a company in Kent that basically have customised the app. So their staff, anywhere in the world, can basically take a photograph, video, upload a voice note or a document, and send it immediately into the health and safety manager's inbox. Yes. Well, I mean, how empowering that, even if you don't use it as a member of staff, how empowering to think that your employer has given you this facility to go, if there is an issue. And also, as well, it acts as an insurance policy, because what happens is, because you've got an effective system, people are less likely to do anything wrong, because they go, hold on a minute, I'm going to be, for want of a better phrase, grassed up here. Yeah. Well, I won't do it then, because they know that the person going to be making the report is truly anonymous, because that's the way we designed
it. And it's incredible, isn't it? When even really large businesses like Apple, for example, I was reading about recently. When they wanted people to start returning to the office, they basically told people that they were going to be returning to the office. And Apple staff were all up in arms. They said, well, no, we don't want to go back to the office 5 days a week. We don't need to be in the office 5 days a week. But, you know, because they didn't have this kind of vehicle to say to people, you know, to perhaps use it as an anonymous kind of feedback questionnaire type thing and say, well, you know, how would you feel about coming back to the office 5 days a week? Or would you prefer to, you know, perhaps come in every other day? They just kind of went out and said, well, this is what you're going to be doing from January this year. Obviously, people kind of rebelled, didn't they? And they said, well, no, and they put their foot down and said, no, that's not what we want to do.
Absolutely, yeah. And when it comes to, say, for example, tribunals, at least a company can say, you had the chance to speak. There's loads of different angles on it, loads of different angles. Yeah. And certainly where I was before, in terms of where I used to work, we used to get an annual staff survey. Well, a lot of people didn't fill it in because they didn't think they were truly anonymous. And even if they did fill it in, then they're going to go, what's going to go?
Yeah, fantastic. Good. Well, look, we've been chatting away here for 10 minutes. Time's flying by. What we're going to do is play a little bit of music. And when we come back, Nick, I'd like to talk about how perhaps you embed that in an organisation, how ultimately that works in terms of training and workshops. But also, I know you've written a couple of books around this subject as well. So I'd like to talk about that if we can. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this bit of music.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect. The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Before the break, we were talking with Nick Inge from iTrust Assurance all about his whistleblowing app, and I think we've decided it's actually a bit broader than that, Nick and Denise, in terms of the fact that most organisations have a need to encourage openness and feedback from their staff and employees and stakeholders ultimately, and that's very much what you're about. I just wanted to understand a bit about how you actually embed what you do into businesses, into organisations, Nick. You know, how does the conversation start in terms of, you know, I have a need to actually, create a more open culture within my business. Can you help me? How does that all come about?
Yes, yeah, it's certainly engaging with the people at the top of the organisation, because ultimately they're in charge of the culture within the business, and leadership starts, you know, in terms of that side of things. that's not explain myself very well, is it? But, you know, if the leader of an organisation doesn't set the standard, then the rest of the organisation doesn't really succeed a lot of the time. So we have to get the buy-in from those at the top. We're doing...
That's a little bit topical, isn't it, today? So we just had this fabulous long weekend. And as soon as we switched the news on this morning, talking about leadership and, you know, the importance of you know, culture and everything and coming from the top. And there's a sort of a confidence vote in our Prime Minister again later on today. So that's what you're talking about, though, isn't it? The fact that he's allowed, you know, parties to happen under lockdown in Downing Street, when in theory, you know, as the leader, you know, he should have been leading by example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to get political about it.
Go on.
No. But it happens in every organisation. If you don't set the tone of the standard, then it all slides downhill, doesn't it? And I think for us as a business, that's where we're finding the most traction. We engage with the people who are basically running the organisation, and they then get it. Because it's not just about allowing their staff to speak up from a branding point of view. For a business to have it and show that they've got it, it's a good marketing tool. And they get that. You know, if they're going to sell more widgets because they've got the app, it's not just about encouraging their staff to speak up. It's about selling other businesses. This is who you're dealing with. Yeah. You're dealing with an open, honest and transparent business that you can trust, funny enough. Yeah.
And, of course, the buzzwords at the moment are environmental social governance, which has kind of replaced corporate social responsibility, if you like. And it's very much around that whole subject, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole ESG thing, that's how we met, wasn't it, at the conference at Canterbury University. For me, the G, and dare I say, I won't say it on air, but we're going to be writing a piece very soon for our social media feed talking about the where's the G in governance? Because there's a lot of talk, but little action a lot of the time. And I want to pen... I won't say it. Something along the... Where's the spot of G in governance? There you go.
I see where you're going with that
say,
one.
Without trying to be too crude about it. But you're trying to say...
This is pre-watershed, this show.
It is, I'm sorry, yeah. But for me, I've always been like this throughout my whole life, let alone...
But the whole point, no one knows where it is anyway, isn't it?
Well, it's in iTrust now.
Okay.
Good answer.
Yeah, but for me, in life, it's all about... getting off your bottom and doing things. And we'll come on to things in a minute about the books and stuff. But it's about if you're going to say it, do it. And if you're a business that means, you know, business, in an ethical business, show your staff and your supply chain what you really mean by that.
So are your customers coming to you now and actively asking, are you still having to present, this is what we can do for you and this is why?
We're on the cusp of people coming, say the cusp, people are coming to us now, put it that way.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and we will reveal something in a few weeks' time where we've got a very large organisation that basically are going to white label our app through 22 of the largest retailers in the UK supply chains. You can see it's a game changer for us, can't you?
Yeah.
So that's where we are. We know we're onto a good thing in terms of culture certainly in business, certainly.
But you're absolutely right. You know, action is the key, isn't it? And, you know, a lot of talk around climate change, sustainability at the moment, and greenwashing associated with that, you know, amongst large corporates. And as you say, the key is always going to be, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating and the action that's ultimately taken on the back of it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And in terms of the app, it's 100%. Powered by renewable energy, it's disability confident, you can have it in any language. So all these sort of factors where people are going, hold on a minute, we can hit all these marks where we need to be hitting for good governance and good business just through having the app, let alone any disclosures they get through it. It's not about getting an avalanche of griefy disclosures through an app. It's not about that. It's more than that. And that's where we're making, like I say, a lot of traction.
Brilliant.
Because I was going to say that's where... I think there is so much more positive in what your app can do, and having that, thinking about it as feedback. You talk more about that whistleblowing or sort of bringing attention to things that are going wrong, but also the opportunity for people to understand where their strengths are and where things are going well, so they can lean into those more as well. I think there's a great opportunity for business.
Absolutely,
We all get it, definitely. So, Nick, you mentioned books. You are the author of two books, Exposing the Truth, Whistleblowing Uncovered, and Jeopardy, Equality and Fairness. So give us a brief synopsis of those. And obviously the whole thing is interrelated in terms of your early career in the police and, you know, what you do now with iTrust and obviously the books you've written. So give us a brief overview of those.
Yeah, thank you. So the first book, Exposing the Truth, is a non-fiction. It's a guide to encourage people to speak up and do the right thing. And it can be a very lonely place when you want to offload and tell people what
is really going on in any organisation. Mm. So I wrote the book with a view to having, like, using it as, people can use it as a crutch to go, do you know what, I can't really speak to someone, but I've got this. And you can go through a load of emotions in terms of, you know, are you doing the right thing? Why are we going to bother? All the grief that goes with it, potentially, if you do speak up and, you know, and do it overtly, not covertly, anonymously, that is. So it's a crutch for people, like I say, to lean on in a time of need sometimes. That's a non-fiction. Jeopardy is a fictional book based on my career in the police, running informants, and it's about police corruption. There's good and bad in every organisation.
Yeah.
But in terms of the police, they should be doing it, yes, by the book, and sometimes it's not. And that's not me talking out of turn.
No.
That's just the way life is.
Well publicised again, I think, you know, over the last few years, you know, people that have, or police officers that have kind of embedded themselves in a community in order to gain the trust, you know, of that community, to then be able to, you know, effectively detect and prevent crime. But actually, they've gone too far, haven't they? They've kind of crossed over and almost sort of taken on those identities, if you like, and have deceived the people that they've then built relationships with, and that's led to all sorts of problems, hasn't it? So it's a fine line, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it's a thin blue line, and it's a very fine line. Mm. And bearing in mind, they're getting paid by the taxpayer to protect them and look after them, and then they're going against the grain by doing things they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Well, and what a privilege it is to establish trust with anyone, let alone a whole community.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it does my head in when people, you know, we were in the police.
So this is a fiction, this second book, around that sort of, you know.
Fiction,
yes. Complete fiction, Martin.
All the names have changed and characters have been changed.
Obviously.
Brilliant.
I'll say no more than that.
So tell me, are they bestsellers, these books? Where can we get hold of them?
They're not, certainly not bestsellers, but right, they're on Amazon. Uh-huh. If you just search Nick Inge in the search bar on Amazon, my name will pop up and you'll see the two books. And yeah, they're print on demand, and yeah, I've sold a few in the last few years, so yeah, I'm very
fantastic,
happy. And I think it's one of these things, Martin, where people say, oh, do you know, everyone's got a book in them. Well, it's a bit like the G in governance, isn't it? Put your money where your mouth is, write a book, and if I can write a book, anyone can write a book, seriously. Yeah. And the best of it is when you get some half-decent reviews, and you think, it's not all by my mum, you know what I mean?
She's only got three aliases. Yeah. Fantastic. Good. So tell us about iTrust Assurance. How can we get in touch with you to find out more and perhaps have an initial conversation? You know, we're an organisation. We're not very good at, frankly, communicating with our employees, our staff. We want to foster a more open culture and relationship going forwards. You know, how can we kickstart that process with you guys?
Yeah, fantastic. So look at the website itrust.uk.com, and all the contact page on there is easily available, and you can have a look on there. On Twitter, we're at itrustassure, and we've got a half-decent following. If you search me on LinkedIn, you'll see all my thousands of followings, darling.
Yeah.
And you can message me by that point, and we'll have a conversation. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Good. Well, for now, I think, Nick, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being on the show today. That's certainly given everybody out there, hopefully, some food for thought in terms of how they manage their own organisation and culture, ultimately, within their business. So that's brilliant. We're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the lovely Denise, who's been waiting patiently in the wings. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Biz Connect radio show today. We've got two super guests with us. We've been talking with Nick Inge from iTrust Insurance, all about his whistleblowing app, an employee engagement business, iTrust Assurance. And now I think what we'd like to do is have a conversation with Denise Kesson from Kesson Physiotherapy. Denise, lovely to have you on the show as well today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Martin. I'm having a nice time.
Super to see you. Your lovely smiley face, which is always welcome on a Monday afternoon, obviously. By way of an introduction, do tell us a little bit about your business, Kesson Physiotherapy, but also your journey and your business journey in particular as a healthcare practitioner, and what led you to kind of start up your own physiotherapy business, please.
So I'm a physiotherapist, and Kesson Physio is based in Faversham. It's actually a family business. We're second generation. So, and I found my way into physiotherapy. My mum was a physiotherapist. My dad was a GP. And I think everybody always makes the assumption, because they were all into healthcare, that's why I went into physio. But I actually did it because of horses. Oh. So I really wanted to work with horses mm-hmm. growing up. I loved riding, did all my training. And that was what I thought I was going to be a riding instructor. And my mum was like, no, you know, you're not going to be a riding instructor. You know, we really value education and felt that I needed to do more. Yeah. So she said, but physiotherapists are now working with horses. So that to go and get into equine physiotherapy, you'd go to university to study physiotherapy, and then you do a master's at the Royal Veterinary College. And then you'd be qualified in equine and dogs. So I did all that, and turns out I didn't want to work with horses. Oh, so thank goodness. Oh. You've been, I've got the physio.
You got kicked one too many times.
Well, I have not met an equine physio that has had a significant time off work from one of their patients. I think, you know, dealing with half a ton of unpredictable animal in pain has its challenges.
Yeah. So you were born into healthcare in many ways, weren't you?
With
your dad as a GP, your mum as a physio. So you kind of had that background, and obviously it did spark an interest.
Oh, it did, you know, and you sort of live and breathe it. Especially, I would say that my dad was like a proper GP, as in, you know, we had people turn up at the house asking for help. You know, he used to sleep with the phone, you know, the red eye, and you know, the any on call, they would come directly to the house, and he would go off and drive, and he would do his house calls. You know, all the a midwife does it now, or a health visitor, but he would go and check on his patients himself. And it was a very proper GP.
So the family business, Kesson Physiotherapy, was already there, and then you came into the business, as it were, having qualified as a physio in your own right. Is that how it worked?
Well, in a roundabout way. Mm. So I was based up in London and I was loving living in London, and I was working in the NHS there as well as helping out at a private clinic. And my mum and dad, they wanted to sort of talk about their retirement and had offered to sell the business to my now husband, but my boyfriend at the time, to him and I. He's not a physio. At that time, the clinic was literally a room inside the family home. And I said, I just don't want to come to work at your house every day. And, you know, I've sort of had ambition to have something bigger. So they agreed to move the business to these incubator units in Faversham, which enabled them to have more space. It was about 800 square foot. And they could put three beds in. So I think that's what they said that they would work towards doing. Damn. And unfortunately, about a month after signing the lease, my dad dropped dead of a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And my mom, who'd already had breast cancer, which had returned a few times, she was like, oh, I didn't sort of have this ambition to grow something for me. Yeah. So we ended up moving quite quickly down from London and said, well, we'll take the business on for a year. Yeah. And to my mum, you figure out what you want to do. So she went off on essentially a gap year a bit later in life, and came back from her travels and said, you know what, I did not miss working at all. So you can have it. And it fell in our lap. And I have to say, I had no idea how to run a business. Yeah. I knew how to be a physio, did not know how to run a business. And it wasn't till, so that was in 2007, I'd say it wasn't until 2012, 2013 that we thought, you know what, I need to take this seriously and really work on being a business owner rather than focusing on being a physio.
Absolutely. But you very much kind of put your own mark on it. And something I want to talk about in particular is your ethos of movement is medicine. So just explain what that actually means in your own terms, please.
So that all came about really trying to understand and explain what physiotherapists are. And you know, you actually ask our profession and everyone will come up with a different definition, let alone ask a potential patient if they think they need it or not. And really, we specialise in movement. Mm. That's what it's all about. And there is no condition or illness that movement cannot help or improve your situation. So we really see, like, we're about empowering people to move better so that they can live better, whether that be increasing their mobility, increasing their cardiovascular function, improving their gut health, improving their mind, you know, and their mental health. Movement is known. I mean, we've got so much evidence now about that, how that will positively impact someone's situation. So that's where, probably when the lockdown came as well, we really, really drilled down on like, why are we here? What are we trying to do? And what is, you know, what are we doing this hard work for and growing a business for? What's the impact and the legacy we want to leave? And that's where we set this really bold target, frighteningly bold target, of empowering 1 million people to move better and live better by the end of 2024.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Because, you know, I guess traditionally people have been very sort of, not blasé, I don't know if blasé is the right word, but, you know, you go to your GP, you might have a, I don't know, a knee injury or an ankle injury or whatever it might be. And you know, the GP's kind of, you know, recommended I get some physio. And that's kind of the sum total of what you perceive to be physiotherapy. I've got an injury and I need to go and, you know, I need to get massaged and or somebody needs to kind of stretch me or, you know, put me in more pain in order that I ultimately, you know, get better. But you're right. It's a lot more holistic than that, isn't it? It's movement is medicine and it's mental health. It's so many other things, isn't it, as well?
It is. And I think, you know, I think that is quite a common misconception that physiotherapy is the intervention, but actually it's the profession. And the intervention can look very, very different depending on who you see and what your problem is. And the I think the fact that people are quite fearful about being made, their pain being made worse. I mean, that's the main driver people access our services is pain. You know, I'd say 97% people, they phone up because they're in pain, not because their function's reduced, but actually it's the reduction in function that affects their quality of life and your world becomes smaller and smaller because the less you can do with the people that you love.
You think about those poor people that have been on an NHS waiting list for a hip operation, for example, you know, under COVID. And as you say, it's all about quality of life. They're just simply not able to leave the house.
Absolutely. And I think in Kent, in this area, there's over 5,000 people, you know, that are on a waiting list, but no idea where they are on this, you know, this invisible waiting list.
Yes, that keeps getting longer and longer.
Okay.
So getting 1 million people moving, and you've partnered with some other organisations to achieve this, haven't you? So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we realised quite quickly that, you know, one physio or even just one physio business is not going to achieve that. In Faversham, I know. No matter how much enthusiasm and love we've got out there, you know, we have our limits. So one of the ways that we are moving towards that number is with partnering with another UK business, which is the Great Outdoor Gym Company. So they build, design and install outdoor gyms around the UK and worldwide, actually. They export, it's all British made, which is brilliant, and they export worldwide. So they have gyms, they have the where. We know the how people can get moving at these gyms. And we are very much targeting people that have lifestyle conditions, so such as your type 2 diabetes, your heart disease, your cancers, obesity and mental health. So we look at how we design programs for people that can then move despite their condition rather than being limited by that condition and how they can use the gyms to do that. And then within that work, we also partner with the relevant charities. So they have the WHO and the people and local authorities. So we are launched this year our Move Type 2 program, which is for type 2 diabetes prevention in Ealing. So Southall local authority, really forward thinking local authority. They've got three gyms. They've installed the screens that we have. So our programs are being played daily for people to know that they can get there at 10 o'clock if you're passing, or at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, our Move Type 2 program is on display.
And presumably that comes with some local authority funding to help you access that as well.
Absolutely. So we go, the local authorities, they have either volunteers or paid programs of activators, so people within the community to get access, or to facilitate mm-hmm. the people that are traditionally hard to reach mm. to get them to the gym. So that's all we need, is that people are out there hooking in and creating that community feel around the gym.
Fantastic.
So we trained them in our programs and how to motivate people that haven't traditionally been moving yeah. much, because there are so many barriers to movement. You'd Absolutely. Think it's so easy to get up and going, but yeah. it really isn't.
Well, just the thought of going to a gym for many people is a sort of a big barrier, I would imagine, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, and I think
yeah. fantastic, good. So look, I think what we'll do, there's so much to talk about still, I think, on this subject. What we'll do is we'll break it there and we'll play a little bit of music, and when we come back we'll dig into that a little bit deeper, and also talk about your taphealth.com app as well, which is something I'm keen to kind of look into. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today. Before the break, we've been talking with Denise Casson from Casson Physiotherapy all about movement is medicine and her campaign to get 1 million people moving in this country. So look out for that as an initiative, perhaps in Kent soon through your local authority. But what I want to do, Denise, is just talk a little bit about what you've got in Faversham in terms of your clinic there, because you obviously offer a variety of kind of fitness classes, physiotherapy for clients as well. So tell us a little bit about what you've actually got there, please.
Yeah, so the majority of what we do at Faversham is physio appointments for people with back, knees, probably our second biggest. So back pain is the biggest thing everywhere, but in Faversham as well, mm-hmm. knees and shoulders and then necks. Mm-hmm. And then most people, they come to us because they're in pain. And that's why they initially start their journey with us. Mm-hmm. And then we help on improving their function and getting them back to doing the things that they love. And once actually they get more confident in their body, that's when they ask a bit more. And then we're there for the next stage when they want to hit their next challenge.
Yeah. So thinking about my own physiotherapy that I had a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with a sort of cartilage problem in my right knee. I went for an MRI scan, so I had a tear in it. I then went to, I was referred to a physio who's actually based at my GP, who did some work with me and actually gave me a cortisone injection, I believe. So is it that type of process in terms of, you know, people being referred to you by GP, for example, as well as being able to walk in privately?
Yeah, so the majority of who we see actually are self-pay patients, so they choose to finance their own healthcare, and they come and will contact the clinic and book directly in. But we also do hold an NHS contract across East Kent, and we operate at about 5 different sites across mm-hmm. East Kent. And to access that, you go to your GP and ask for them to raise a referral and just say, I'd like it sent to Casson Physiotherapy. And once we got it, we can book
perfect,
you in.
Perfect. Fantastic. I have to say it was the best thing I ever did. And he actually said to me at the time, you know, this injection may actually solve your problem. It did for me, funnily enough. He'd had exactly the same problem, and I haven't looked back since. I'm so just so glad that I actually did something about it. And I think that's, you know, getting over that initial hurdle is the biggest obstacle for many people, isn't it? It's fear of the unknown, I guess, and, you know, and it's all of that. But you also do fitness classes as well, don't you? So tell us about some of those. You do all the sort of the body pump and the, you know, all that Les Mills, I think, is the New Zealand guy, isn't it, that kind of created all of that?
Yeah, we have a studio. Uh-huh. We have 2 studios, actually, but we have the large studio for our large classes, and we do well-being and fitness. Mm-hmm. So I would say we lean more into the well-being classes, which focus more on getting, like yourself, with your post injection in your knee, uh-huh. getting it going, building the strength up. So we have I think there's now 4 classes a week we do specifically for lower limb and normally pre or post operative or degenerative problems, and getting people going, getting stronger in their legs, getting better on their balance. Mm-hmm. There's one also for falls prevention, which is for our more mature clients who are worried about falling when they're out and about. And then we run about 14 Pilates classes. So Pilates is really big, not just for us in Faversham. It's really popular at the moment. But that's what we do a lot of.
Done my fair share of that in my time as well. Yoga,
a vision, and I bet you are in
Pilates.
Your
yeah, absolutely. But again, you know, just that, you know, as we were talking about earlier, you know, it's whatever works for you. And you know, Pilates is a great example of sort of resistance training, isn't it? Where you literally, you're just using your own, you know, your own body weight and mass to actually build strength, which is incredible.
Yeah, so we tried to make our fitness and wellbeing class program as accessible to everyone, so that there's people that are just, again, getting their confidence up in their body and what they're asking of it, so they can do that. Pilates is a really, really nice discipline to do that with, for you to explore what your movement, what feels good, what you don't enjoy around it. And then we can go to the other end of the spectrum where you said already, we do like the HIIT training, the kettlebells, and the spin classes. Yeah. So that's when people are feeling they want to challenge their body even further.
Yeah, which, as you were saying earlier, is so important for things like you know, diabetes, for example, and you know, you really need to kind of build muscle mass in order to fight a disease like that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And stress, you know, your cardiovascular system, so your heart and your lungs, so that they get better and more efficient. But it has to be enjoyable. That is always
absolutely, because you won't do it again.
Exactly.
So just to finish with today, I want to talk about taphealth.com, because that's another business that you've started. Just give us a brief kind of overview of that.
Well, very simply, it's like the Just Eat for healthcare. So we were looking, what healthcare traditionally is always really far behind a digital innovation. And the benefit of that is you get to see what works really well in other industries and what can you extrapolate and then apply to your own industry. So we were really interested in exploring how can we make physio, first of all, easier to book, and using a three-step search, book and pay option to get into your physiotherapy. But then quickly realise, once you've booked your initial assessment, if you've got, if your physiotherapist practice has a receptionist, you're going to do all your other rebooking with that reception. Mm-hmm. And once you've accessed physio, you know, most people won't access it again for another 18 months, 2 years. So having a designated app for just one health offering wasn't really
a bit limiting.
Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, can we create a health marketplace where someone can use exactly the same three-step process to search, book and pay, but they can book their dentistry, their optical, they can book, well, actually now we're just bringing on MRI, can be done, people can book their hip or knee replacements through it. So you can, we just wanted to make it as simple and accessible as possible for somebody who wanted to choose to book their next healthcare appointment, to just have one app that they could download and have that function for all.
Yeah, because of course many people will choose that you know, private option, you know, in the first instance, won't they, when they need treatment.
It's becoming much more popular choice to do that. I think because it gives you, as the customer, actually you have the control about the who and the where.
And when.
Mm. And I think one of the other, because of that demand, the providers are becoming much more creative in how you can afford that to make it a more affordable option.
Yeah, because they can be quite big ticket items, you know. I've got a friend who's a consultant surgeon at Oxford, and he markets himself as the hammer and chisel guy, you know. But yeah, incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Denise, thank you so much for being with us today. Tell us a little bit about how we can get in touch with you guys at Kesson Physiotherapy down in Faversham.
Yeah, so you can call us. We're always someone at the end of the phone. So on 01795 534 113, or check on our website, kessonphysio.co.uk, to message us in.
And your other business is taphealth.com, is that right? So that really, really simple to find.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
You can download that app off the Play Store and the Apple Store.
Brilliant, fantastic. Nick and Denise, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been lovely to have you both on. Thank you also to our listeners out there today. It's been great having you tuned into the show today as well. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with another couple of guests, and I think we've got the FSB on to give us an overview of what's going on in the economy, so that should be quite interesting. But for now, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.